All right. Welcome, party people. It is Thursday
Party
night,
guys.
a little after 8. It's that time where you get to
Yep.
hang out with us.
Yeah.
So,
Miss you
yeah.
guys.
You did not. Shut
I like my habitual, my weekly routine. It's part of my weekly routine to be here on the show. Even though I enjoyed Michigan, surprisingly clean.
Yeah.
Like I was shocked because you always get told all the time, like every time you go in any major city, oh, it's dirty, it's awful. These were the
Right.
cleanest streets I've ever seen, like ever of
Wow.
anything. I was like, oh,
OCP
wow.
rolling through town, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, but it was a nice little show.
that's good.
Talk to, I was sending you messages. Howard Chaykin was there,
Yeah.
Andrew Pepboy was there. It was fun,
I love those guys.
Oh
They're
yeah.
great people.
I had just enough blue in my hair to be like, Pittsburgh? I'm like, yes. And then Howard's like, oh, he's like, is your owner still? I was like, yes, he is, sir. Yes, he is.
That's funny. I thought they were
He's
getting along now, but whatever.
well. He's like I. He was. He's joking, of course.
I
He's
know.
ribbing, but he was like. He's like, yeah, I had fun with him. He's like, I was like, it wasn't fun at the time, though, to be fair. He's
Well,
like, no, it was not.
I think if one of them would have been a little more sober, it probably would have been a little easier to deal with, but we'll just leave it at that.
But he did talk about it was like the last time he was there, and he
That's
enjoyed
good.
us, and he even brought up Ed Pisker about how
Yeah.
he talked to him because he did
Yeah.
talk to him. What was it, that Saturday night or
Yeah,
whatnot?
they went to dinner. Yeah.
Yeah. So
So.
yeah, and then Andrew was bull BSing with him, along with signed here. What
Oh,
was his name?
nice.
Was it Mr. Priest, Christopher Priest? He was there. And I asked him, I was like, do you remember doing this? And he looked at it, took him like 10 minutes. He's like, did I do this? And I was like, well, I was like, your name's on it, so I'm assuming so.
He definitely
Yeah.
wrote it.
And he's like, I can't even remember tell you any story about it. He's like, it was probably just something I got coaxed into and just did it. I was like, hey, that's sometime that's enough. Sometime that's enough.
Right.
So,
Exactly.
yeah.
Exactly. Oh man. Oh, jeez. Sorry, I'm a little tired. It's been long couple weeks doing the Silver Age tour. We're in the home stretch, though. I got one more day at Waterfront, and then we got 3 days in Elwood next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But before that, in between Sunday, we're going to be at the Pittsburgh Comic Show down at the what the hell's the name of the hotel? Crown, something Crown.
Crown Suite, Crown.
Something. It's on Fort Couch Road or
Yeah.
Fort Church Road. Right across from Southwest Village. It's from 10 to
Yeah.
4. It's in the hotel lobby, in the ballroom, I guess, the hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on out and check it out. We'll both be there. We'll have the big ass Silver Age collection. It's going to be a lot of fun. Some of
It's a
our
nice.
friends.
It is a nice one day old school show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, I saw that Ben Templesmith's going to be there, so I get to hang out with Ben a little bit. He unfortunately cannot do our show this year because he'll be in Phoenix. So, yeah, anyway, it's gonna be a fun time. So come and hang out. It'll be good times.
Yep.
Also, just so you guys know, tickets for Three Rivers Comic Con go on sale December 1st. We'll do some guest announcements, but not all the guest announcements that day.
Yes.
I can tell you that we have a bunch of guys, bunch of creators that have not been to the show in years, like as in not since the Century 3 days. that are coming back. And we have a couple new people too. So it's going to be a good time. I will also, we did move from Hall D to Hall E, which is the one right beside it. Same size, but it's going to be a mirror image. So when you go in there, you're going to be a little confused. but it'll be fine. I promise. I just did the floor map yesterday. It's pretty much identical. So,
Yeah, it's just gonna be a little bit different. That's all.
yeah, it'll be fine. We'll make it work. So, yeah, other than that, I don't think there was much in the way of news.
No, it's well, at least not comic pop culture wise, not really. It's
This is the slow time of year anyway. So,
yes.
I will tell you though, so I watched Orphan Black Echoes, the sequel series to Orphan Black with Kristen Ritter in it. It was really good. I don't know why it only got one season.
I
So
think people got tapped out a little bit. Like,
I it came out a little too late too. Like it came out a little too far after the first one did. But it was very good. It was very, very good. It wasn't quite as good, but it was very good. And then I watched this awesome documentary last night on AMC, no, Amazon, called RoboDoc.
Oh, I saw. I've seen that a
Yeah,
couple times.
and it's about the making of RoboCop, and it was
RoboCop,
actually pretty cool because like they were talking about how the main writer wrote that book because he read a whole bunch of Machine Man, Judge Dredd, and then he loved Blade Runner. Like he loved all the Philip
which
K.
is
Dick stuff.
kind of like basically RoboCop is an amalgam of all three of them
Yeah.
smashed into one.
Yeah. And it worked out really well, and I thought it was good. So, anyway, yeah, that's pretty much all I got. So Silver Age. Oh, don't forget Black Friday's next week. So, because Thanksgiving is also next week, we will not be having a show next week. So another week skip. Sorry, my bad.
Yeah, sorry guys.
But I
Yeah,
mean, Christmas will also be on a Thursday. Yeah, Christmas is also on a Thursday. So we might do like a like some kind of extra fun guest appearance-y one in between Christmas and New Year's as a Christmas gift to everybody. But we'll work that out. No,
yeah.
no, no, no promises yet.
Is a
Considering I just thought of that. So,
yeah.
I'm only saying there's no show next week because I have to go to my mother-in-law's and I don't know what time I'm gonna get back.
Yeah.
So, anyway,
Understandable.
so Black Friday's coming up. We got 20% off if you buy $50 or more with a qualifying purchase, which excludes a couple things in the store, like dollar books are not going to be included because they're all going to be
No.
50% off.
Yeah.
There will be other exclusions. You're just going to have to check each store for what they're going to exclude. I'm
Yeah.
imagining sealed TCGs will most likely be on that.
Yeah. So for all you Pokemon scalpers and Magic scalpers, you're not going to get that
Well, the seal
deal.
on the sealed product,
On the
the
sealed stuff.
singles, the
Yeah.
singles are
The
fine.
singles are, fair game, but yeah, it's Look, it's we know there are the guys out there doing that stuff, but yeah, that's not going to be included in that. We will make it very apparent.
We also got some cool new Goblin mystery dice in. So if you guys are interested in checking those out, all the stores have them except for Waterfront. They're going to put their order in tomorrow. But they come in a little bag, and there's some really cool sets. There's a bunch of Christmas ones. There's plus and minus counters. There's all kinds of stuff. But check them out. All the stores got different selections because they, that's what they wanted.
Yeah.
They are pretty cool, and I kind of like them. I was playing around with them the other day, so.
Mads showed me the one bag is they call it the bag of
Disappointment.
disappointment, which is like
Yeah.
all like messed up, either like messed up or
So
error.
it's the stuff that's like it's kind of error-ish, right? So it's the stuff that's not painted. It's the stuff that's like not sharp. It's not glossed. Like it's like the it's almost like the dice that fell off the tray, like and hit the floor while they were like going through the processes, and they just kind of sweep them all up and throw them in a bag. But it's kind of nice too. I dug it. I like the product though. It's pretty good.
Yeah, Mads is like, oh, that's the role when you're a DM. That's your curse dice. Where you roll it. It's like because they're crappy dice, they're the curse dice. You throw
Yeah.
them, then you
Oh
get stuck with
yeah.
what you get. Yeah.
I'm trying to think, there was something else I wanted to say. I don't remember what it is. For Small Business Saturday. Well, starting Black Friday, all the dollar books are half off till the end of the calendar year, which means at close on New Year's Eve, they will stop being 50 cents. This excludes the warehouse. So warehouse sales still going to be a dollar through December, just so you guys know. But there are going to be a couple other weekend sales at a couple of locations. Everybody's talking about doing a couple different things. So make sure you check out your local NDC and ask what else they got going on, because you might find some cool stuff. I know Mills plans on doing a giant Funko sale. So it'll be good. And like some of them are actually very, very good, very cool Funkos that they're gonna put on sale. It's gonna be good. So, all
Yeah,
right.
help out those Funko people, because that is one thing, that they're not doing hot, and they're talking about possibly going out of
Right.
business,
But they're still
which
cool. So, like they're not,
I'm gonna
they're
say
it.
that. I'm going to say
Go
this
ahead.
about Funko is I was a Funko fanatic. Like hardcore, I had every Hulk one, every Wolverine one, all the He-Man Master of the Universe one. I couldn't keep up for main reasons of they kept putting out like the same mold, just different colors, stuff like that. And the expense. It used to be the cheapest, which they're still affordable by far, but due to current economic yet things going on, they've slowly jacked up the price, and it's upset a lot of people. Now it's they
Ooh.
also have the exclusive things going on now, like they had the was it the their Bitcoin version of the digital collecting. I thought that was the dumbest thing they ever did, because you're not going to get as many people into that, especially like older people, because they don't want to deal with that kind of thing. But let's hope that Funko is going to steer the right direction. They're still coming out with stuff. They just had probably their worst year in decades.
Well, it's a mix of some things. So, like, they're also not putting out as much stuff, which is great, because it's not flooding their own market, because they were kind of doing that for the last couple of years. So while it's the worst year in decades, it's also not that bad, because it's just showing that they're gonna sell through more of the smaller branded stuff. Marvin asked a great question of how do they afford all these licenses? Well, the reason is they only make them one time usually, and then they vault them. So they'll run through every character they can, and then they vault it. So it's not like they're reprinting like Iron Man every month. Like there's not a new Iron Man every month. There might be one or two a year, but they're not the same Iron Man.
Well,
So like,
they use the same molds in certain aspects of
yeah.
like you said, Iron Man.
Yeah.
Most Iron Men, especially if they're just standing still, like standstill ones,
Yeah.
same mold. Like virtually same mold. Now they're the ones now where it's like, hey, he's in the air, so he's doing this, or something like that. That's a completely different mold. But there's a lot of them that do have the similar mold in general, and they can
Right.
use that mold over and over again. They just have to
Right.
be like, oh, hey, here's Iron Man from the What If story,
Well, I mean,
or
they've used
whatever.
molds from different properties into other properties too, because like they used the Grey's Anatomy ones were also the ones they used for the frontline care workers. They just changed the heads. So,
Well,
I
and
mean, it's
it's regular people too. I was never one of those people that was into the normal people, like normal characters.
Right. Well, I mean,
I have to have mine fantastical and fantasy.
okay.
Like it's,
I was
you
gonna say I
know,
have some. Like I have like Doctor Who, I have
like
Orange is the
I
New
have Stan Lee
Black.
back there. Like
Yeah.
that's the
I have
only Stan Lee
Lemmy.
one I have. Or
Like Lemmy's looking at me right now. Joey Ramone's looking at me right now.
yeah, but they don't do like a ton of Ramones or Lemmy
No,
stuff.
they only did Joey, which is weird. I thought they would have done like at least the original four, but yeah, there's a couple other ones that I have too, but like I have Mirror Universe Spock over there and he's like a dude, but anyway, it is what it is. I like them. I don't like a lot of them. Like I've never been like a massive collector. I probably have, I don't know, maybe 50 total, maybe. And most of them, I'll be honest, most of them are either Green Lantern or Masters of the Universe.
I
So,
just turned in my Skeletor collection just because it was taking up too much room. And I'm just like, you know what? I was like, they started doing the Skeletor memes. And I'm like,
I just bought the second meme one.
the second meme one's fun. The first meme one wasn't so much fun.
No,
But
I really want them to do the one where he's like under the blanket or like in the snuggie with the wine. Like that's the one I really want them to do.
I'm sure they'll get around to it.
Right.
But like I
So.
said, I'm cutting down on collections of stuff, but Funko is like kind of the first thing for me to be like, yeah,
Right.
I think I'm done. I mean, there'll always be characters. Like, I think they just started doing Dexter. Like, they
They
just.
did it like a new, like the newer ones, but they did
No,
original Dexter before.
no, they
I'm
did
pretty
not.
sure they did.
No,
Hold
they
on.
never. Funko never touched Dexter until this past year. Like they released it because I have one of the ones that I ordered directly from Funko, and it's him in an apron. But it was him, regular, him in the apron, and then Deborah, and those are the only ones that exist. Because
Yeah,
there's.
I definitely thought they did them or at least him before. I'm gonna look it
No,
up while
because trust me, I always go for Dexter memorabilia. They had a Dexter bobblehead. They did a Funko Dexter bobblehead
maybe
years
that's what
ago.
I'm thinking of.
Yeah, they had
Cause
a
like
bob they had bobbleheads, but not actual Funko Pops. And I'm just like, the bobblehead was not that great, but I definitely got at least a Dexter bobblehead to kind of go with my Dexter stuff here at home. But yeah, there's certain licenses that they're just getting around to now. And I'm like, okay, but we'll see how this goes.
Right. Yeah. Let's see here. Well, that website is not doing what I want it to do. Anyway, I'll look it up a little bit because I swear they did one, but maybe I am thinking of the bobblehead. Anyway. Let's talk some comics and get this thing rolling. All right. My first book this week is Red Coat number 15. It's a new story arc starting. This one's actually kind of going to be kind of quick. So Simon has changed his last name to Plum, or at least goes by Simon Plum at this point. And he's working as a tailor in a tailor shop that it's in 1909. And he went to this tailor a bunch with his red coat, and now that guy gave him a job, so he's like that. He's walking home, Buys some flowers, comes home. You find out he has two kids and a wife. He's got a daughter and a younger son. And his son's named Albie, and his daughter is I don't know what her name is. He calls her Little Apple, though, which is funny. I can't remember it. He might say it in here somewhere. So they have dinner. He goes to sleep. He goes downstairs and he's looking through books of mysteries and myths of America's founding fathers. And he's like, all of this is fiction. He's like, there must be a way, because he's trying to figure out a way to not be immortal anymore. So the next morning he wakes up and his wife's making breakfast, and someone knocks at the door, and they think it's like one of their friends, Mitchell. So he opens the door and here it's young out or a older than we saw last time, Albert Einstein, but not gray haired yet. And they have a nice meetup. Let me see here. He says they all have a daughter and a son. They don't say her name. Shit. His wife's name is Margaret. But anyway, so Albert came. He invites him inside, but he's like, yeah, like I'll totally come inside, but you need to know what's going on. And he goes, Benedict Arnold is back. So Benedict Arnold, who was leading like the, he's the other immortal who has the hatchet of George Washington, who was leading like the sort of Mason guys that made them immortal, is coming back now. So that's where this story ends up. I just absolutely love this book. I think it's super great. And it's very, very interesting to see like the almost like sort of history that they do with it, and how it like how he kind of does like a like almost like he existed but didn't exist in real history. I really enjoy that. I think it's a lot of fun. I think this book was quick, but it also was a good, it was really great to see Einstein in there, and to see where Simon's life is. So I'm giving this book a 10 out of 12. I just wish it was a little longer, but it is a great setup for this next story arc, and that's why I'm really, really excited about it. So.
All right, we got Batman Static Beyond, and this is an Elseworld book. So this is the era of Harry still in high school. And we kind of get like the explanation of static, like future static here. And they're in space with the Justice League. Apparently it's like Terry's first time in outer space because he's barfing in the cockpit. They're kind of making fun of him a little bit, but then like it's like, yeah, take it easy. He's the youngest out of all of us, you know.
And that's the Batman Beyond universe one, right? Like
Yes,
where it's like
Batman
Big
Beyond.
Barda, there's a
Big
green light, like a kid
Barda.
Green Lantern,
Yes, yeah, it's a
Superman,
yeah,
somebody else.
Superman with like gray
The
hair, like
white in the
white
white and
hair,
black
white
outfit,
hair.
right?
Yeah, it's pretty much like all of that, those Justice League characters are all in the book here in the beginning. They're fighting against these aliens, the Kalads. They're not really that important to the story. It's just it shows like how powerful Static is now as an adult. Like he literally took an entire fleet and sucked in their energy. Like, and they lost power to their ships.
Wow.
Yeah, it shows you how much his power has grown since, you know, those who used to watch Static Shock in the Saturday morning era there is Yeah, his powers have definitely matured with him. We get after they do all the clean up, they're like, well, we got to get back here because Batman's got school in the morning and it's way past his bedtime. And then next thing you know, we see Terry sleeping in class again, which if you've watched Batman Beyond, he does that a lot because he's always out at night and he's always sleeping in class. As him and Max are leaving class, you're seeing a old school protest out in front of like the campus of the school. And we meet a kid named Melvin, who was the kid who was protesting against another kid who's going to beat him up. Well, of course, Terry stepped in and be like, hey, you know, he's like, you hear what he's saying? He's like, I don't have to hear what he says. He's like, he's protesting. He's not causing an issue. I don't know why you have to start things with him. And the tensions are down now at this point, because the confrontation was broken up. Melvin, or Terry gives Melvin his number, because he guessing there's another protest going on, because in the future, of course, it's there's pollution and there's a lot of the corporate greed and everything, and it's leading to another could be a disaster. So he's going to be at this protest, and Max and Terry figure that they might kind of want to keep a low-key eye on this stuff. We get sped into Static's home, and we see his he's with his dad and his wife and his kid, who also has the same powers as he does. You actually see him in this little static bubble, and he's floating himself up and just kind of like doing it in the living room and everything. And they discuss how, you know, he's still keeping like part of the sit like Static City, like how he's kind of the guardian, like Batman's guardian of Gotham. And she's like, you're so much like his wife brought up though. She's like, you're in the Justice League now and you're doing more international stuff. Why don't you just give up the scene, like the city scene, and be more like Superman? And he's like, well, I want to be a grounded hero. I want to do things here because this is where it all started. And he's like, besides, he's like, I don't have to interfere with anything going on in Gotham because that's Batman's territory. Now, Max and Terry, we see later that night, are in the protest area. And apparently, it's something about using this power generated. It's similar to the gas that caused the, like the Big Bang gas stuff that caused Static to mutate and everything. So this is a new improved version, and it was supposed to be safe and everything. But of course, this is Gotham, and if Neo Gotham has anything, it has jokers. Well, here come a bunch of jokers causing trouble. And they rewire the guard robots that they had there, so they're fighting Joker. Terry's fighting jokers and guard bots. Meanwhile, Max is hiding and Melvin's getting caught in the crossfire. We do get a little bit of backstory with Melvin, a little bit about how his parents are kind of working nonstop scientist type deal. It seems like he's got some issues going on, which again, for Batman Beyond, this it takes a little deeper on the side characters than most Batman things. But as Terry is fighting the Jokers, Melvin is like worried and he's calling Terry and he's calling Terry and he can't get a hold of Terry because Terry's fighting the Jokers. Well, this explosion happened because, you know, of course it does. And Melvin gets pushed like backwards, like there's just this giant crater. He is Melvin gets pushed, like thrown into Gotham River. And due to the explosion, Terry can't hone in on him. And you just see Melvin slowly drowning. And that's where the book ends. This was pretty fun. Like, I always enjoy Batman Beyond in general. And I like how it's very old school in Batman Beyond, where they're going back to Terry in high school and not grown up Terry. I gave this like a 10 out of 12. It's a lot of back and forth, and I feel like they just could have made this a Batman Beyond story with a little bit of static in it instead of making it Bat Static and Beyond. I guess we'll have to find out, like, in the issues after this, if this is more static in this Batman than normal. I don't know. But it wasn't a bad book. It's a fun book. I enjoyed it.
That's cool. Yeah, I was curious. I mean, I have it to read myself, and I mostly because I was just like, oh, this is kind of cool because both cartoons were on at the same time. I'm like, how are they going to make this work? So I'm kind of interested to read it, but we will see. All right, my next book is The Disavowed, number two, from Devil's Due and Massive, Josh Blaylock, Pop Man. So this book has all the violence in it. Like so much gore, so much bullets through faces, bullets through people. It starts out where like a spherical looking place crash lands, and there are guys that are there to steal some things. The United Five shows up, who are basically the Joes, and pretty much kill everybody. The other guys, or sorry, that is in the now, right? Yeah, that's in the now. And they flash back to 1989 to basically kind of continue the story from the first issue, which is kind of where the end of the Devil's Due G.I. Joe ran anyway. So at this point, the hell do they call him? Lord Anon, who is the guy that runs Komodo, is trying to get these guys to or he like he's dealing with the rest of the United Five that's in there. These guys are literally like cutting people's arms off with chainsaws, shooting people. There's like a dreadnought guy that later becomes known as what the hell was his name? I can't remember his name now. It's gonna bother me. But anyway, so much fighting, so many people just like throwing themselves into giant like amounts of lasers and death. They're just trying to get out of the building, and it's crazy. So the United Five gets captured by Komodo, and is taken to their place, their headquarters, I guess. After a different chunk of headquarters then full on exploded and killed like multiple towns around it. It was nuts. And then you get a little more backstory of the new Dane, where he, 'cause he knows what's going on. So he's in his room doing homework, and behind him on his wall is like a Matrix poster and a Crow poster. And then he joins the army, and he keeps asking about joining the United Five and bringing that back. And he eventually gets to be on the new United Five. So they go and they're going into a mission, and here you find out the old United Five came and they just completely kill all of the new United Five, including some of their old teammates. And Lord Anon comes out and just says, are they still calling us that, or are they calling us the Disavowed? So now it's Lord Anon plus four or the old United Five. So it's kind of an interesting book. But it's mostly action, I'll tell you that. So it is crazy fun. I'm pretty excited about this. And I really thought this book was a lot of fun, and it's probably the most violent. It's way more violent than anything that Image and Marvel had done, and IDW have done with the G.I. Joe book. So I hope that Larry Hama isn't mad about it.
I got one. I have one this week that's even more violent
Oh no,
than
I read it too. I will talk about it.
that. But
So
Josh was also at the show this weekend too, this
yeah,
past weekend.
that's
Yes,
good.
I said
I like
hi to him as
Josh.
well
Yeah, I saw him
because
at Baltimore.
he had to do a head turn a little bit to remember who I was. I'm like,
Oh.
yeah. I was like, I'm sorry. He's like, no. He's like, it's fine. He's like, we do so many shows. I'm like, yeah, it's like
Right.
I should have just did my hair bluer. It's like this.
So I'm giving this book an 11 out of 10, just because it was that good. Like,
11 out of 12, you mean?
oh yeah, sorry, 11 out of 12. Woo, sorry, it's been a long week. So, but yeah.
Here we go. Here's this was good too. The Blue Falcon and Dynamite, number 3. Now we see the beginning of the book. You're seeing the scientist that was working with Blue Falcon that got into debt and started this whole adventure, like the book, and how he wanted to give back the money. And he's like, I didn't want to be a part of this, that, and the other. The person he owed debt to happened to be Beast Woman, and she just ends up killing him by ordering a panther to tear him to shreds. So
Oh.
there goes that dude. And Beast Woman decides to send out a hit on Blue Falcon since he's still in the hospital and injured. So they're sending a bunch of assassins in. While that is going on, the doctors save Blue Falcon. He's beat the heck. But they did get the surgeon who happens to be like his right size, and they used him as a bait and switch to make sure, hey, Blue Falcon's okay, you know. So he did like a once over in the streets like type thing on the in the car in a thing. But the assassins aren't fooled. And actually, the assassins are pretty badass because they're wearing these skulls for masks and everything. And they start their assault in the hospital. One of the guards who was last ditch hits the fire alarm. And this is where we get to see Dynamutt in action as he uses his belt and calls Dynamutt in, and this was the most badass thing I've ever seen. Like, Dynamutt was so goofy in the Hanna-Barbera universe. This one is not so goofy. This is more Terminator than it is, where he sits there, he's saving civilians, like he's using his extensions and everything. And he even has medical, like he has like first aid knowledge and everything. He actually was helping Blue Falcon out, getting him to move and everything out of bed because he was still under like critical care. But they shot he shot him up with some medicine and everything, and it's the doctor and his girlfriend slowly leading him out. Meanwhile, he takes care of the assassins with accuracy, to say the least. He opens his mouth and missiles are shooting out of his mouth.
Oh my.
And you're seeing full on, heads roll. Like you see the one where the missile blowback literally blows apart one of the assassins. Quite gory. This is not your this is not your kid, your dad's Blue Falcon for sure. They help him escape. His girlfriend takes the belt, and I think you get the connection is the girlfriend is Beast Woman as a civilian. So she stole his belt. And that's where the book ends. And this is a really good book. This is really, I know like Dynamite has made all these old school IPs like very adult. But this one by far is like my favorite. Like I liked Herculoids. I liked Gargoyle. Like I love Gargoyles. So this is right on par with Gargoyles because I was not expecting Blue Falcon and Dinomutt to be this hardcore. So it's
Well, I
pretty
mean, like, their
cool.
Space Ghost was like that too, though.
Yeah, but I never read
So.
Space Ghost. So I couldn't
Or
like
watch Space Ghost, you mean?
I've
Or
never read
you
I
read
didn't read the
the
book. I didn't
you read
read
the
the
new ones.
Dinomutt.
Okay, okay, okay.
No. No. I
Okay.
Space Ghost wasn't my jam. That's my wife is more of a Space Ghost person than I was.
Okay.
But yeah, this one I was not expecting because I always pictured Blue Falcon and Dinomutt in the Olympics, the Hanna-Barbera Olympics when I was a kid, and how goofy Dinomutt was. And this definitely turned my head off. Damn.
Right, I just always remember Dinomutt and Scooby-Doo and like them being like, how come he is, how come he can do all this cool shit,
Yeah,
like
that
kind of
too.
a vibe. So
Yeah.
yeah,
Yeah, but
what
I
did you rate
definitely
this?
give
I'm
the
sorry. Oh, you're gonna do it right now.
I'm gonna give this like an 11 out of 12. Like
Nice.
it is a solid book. You are doing yourself a disservice if you have not read this for sure.
That's awesome. All right, my last book is 1776. This book was from 2 weeks ago, I think. Or last week. Last week,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, this Blue Falcon was also last week, so too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this book starts out where in a in at Sar the Battle of Saratoga. Well, the Battle of Battle of Freeman's Farm, right before the Battle of Saratoga. And then you find in Boston in 1778, Ben Franklin and Cagliostro, the sorcerer, who was sorcerer supreme at the time, basically send Ben Franklin's soul to the future to Doctor Strange to basically tell him that Morgan le Fay is trying to fuck up time and make the Britons the British win. So Doctor Strange gathers Spider-Man, Iron Man, Captain America, and the Hulk, I think. And Morgan le Fay basically goes in and is like, "No, I'm here to win this battle for you. Like we're gonna do that so that they don't become the United States. They just become small independent countries and then fight amongst themselves." And there's this really interesting part of this where or not Hank, Bruce Banner says, "I mean, look at former," or he's like, "Is it basically?" He's like, "It would it be so bad if," he's like, "Let me play devil's advocate. Would it really be so bad if Britain won the war?" And Spider-Man's like, "What about slavery to start?" And he's like, "Brits abolished slavery in 1833. It wasn't abolished in America until 1865. And then Cap's like, I can't believe you're actually suggesting this is a good idea. He's like, it's not, but my job as a scientist is to look at every possible angle. And he basically talks about how, like, look at Canada, look at Australia, like everything actually ended up being fine. He's like, make no mistake, I'm still in favor of going back and fixing it. He's just like, but it's just a theory. And Spider-Man's like, yeah, but we may not exist. He's like, that's also possible. So the doctor says, like, shut up, we're just going to do this. He's like, but I have to send you back, and I can't stay here while you do that. So at that time, he also sends Clea back, so they have a magic user to fight Morgan Le Fay. So they send he sends everybody back in time. But they're all now in like colonial gear, which was kind of interesting. And then they're like, "Where are we?" And she's like, "Oh, we're in Saratoga." He's like, "Wait, the Battle of Saratoga?" He's like, "Yeah, that's 3 days from now." And Peter Parker's like, "Are you okay, Steve? You look a little green around the gills." He's like, "Historians called it the meat grinder." He was like, "2,000 killed on both sides, hundreds of wounded, nearly 7,000 missing in action and presumed dead." And those only go to American history. And Clea says, like, if this goes the other way, it's going to be closer to 10,000 killed and a nation lost. So they send Iron Man off to the Congress. The Continental Congress to start evacuating in case they fail. And then Hulk has now been tasked to kind of like spy on everybody, and Steve and Peter get picked up at the end of it. So while I like the writing in this a lot, because it's Strack, like the Sean Damon Hill, his pencil pages, not super great. The Ron Lim pages, great. Jay Leiston inked the whole thing, awesome. Or like he actually inked the Hill parts. Roberto Poggi did the other parts. Nope, got that backwards. Anyway, and then Alex Sinclair colored the whole thing. I think the story sounds great, but in reality, it is not as good. It was not as good as I hoped it would be. And I think it just the story, like the story was fine. It's the art that's not. Like the art is so weird because it's back and forth between the two different artists, that it kind of like throws you a little bit when you're reading it. So I think the story will turn out being pretty good, but I'm also really confused because Cyclops and Invisible Woman are on the cover, but they're not in the book yet. They're not in the book
Yes.
yet.
Oh
So
boy.
we'll see, but I wasn't super impressed with it. I definitely thought it could use some work. So for that, I'm gonna give this a 8 out of 12. So overall, I enjoyed it, but I thought the art could be better, is basically where I'm at. It just wasn't the consistent art that I want.
All right. This was the I saw this and I was like, I kind of curious. Final boss
That's
number
how I
one.
felt.
Yeah. Tyler Kirkham wrote and he did the art for this too.
Yeah.
That's interesting because I know Tyler Kirkham, I don't think he's written anything, has he?
That I
Is this
don't
his first,
remember.
if this is this his like first like thing writing? Because if he did like collab, if he it looks like he's collaborating with I think Dave Miller is also a writer. I could be wrong.
I'll look it up while you
Yeah,
pick,
but
but I can't remember.
we start in the book here of we're in World War II in the Pacific. where a small group of American troops are washed up on a shore of an island. And they find a mysterious hollowed out tree, like a cave. The soldiers go in, and it turns out to be a dream of a young man, well, a younger guy, I should say, who we're in modern age now. And apparently this dream's been happening more and more. And the dream is about his grandfather went through that in World War II. His grandfather's name was Jay Brazen. His name is Tommy Brazen. And he's apparently a fighter, soldier, ex-soldier. He had a government job, but he's kind of unemployed and down on his luck. He's really beat up. I guess he's doing like MMA street fighting, underground street fighting type stuff. Because he's got like beat up ribs, he's got scars all over him. And he's just doing all these odd jobs to make a living. He's also trying to find his father, who apparently was looking for this island that his grandfather landed on, and he's been missing for years. He ends up meeting up with one of his jobs was taking his money from an old lady. Well, not an old lady, a woman who was
Married
a
lady.
married lady, who's paid him. We don't know for what yet, but he gets paid half now, half later. Like I said, he's down on his luck, so I guess he's anything for money. He meets up with a friend who we don't get it, the friend's name in this book, which I thought was kind of weird.
Right.
Is that they his friend takes him for this job. Apparently, the husband cheated on this woman with her secretary, so he pretended to be the secretary's brother and beats the living crap out of the husband.
Yep.
And the wife is, here's the rest of your money, thank you. apparently he enters in a cage fight with the champ named Chain Gang. As he's getting ready for the fight here, he has this necklace. It looks like it left a burn mark on his chest, the same the talisman. And we kind of get a flashback to how he got this necklace and how his grandfather got this necklace. And we're getting like a lot of flashbacks to his grandfather's, like how his origin, like so to speak, or the origin of the talisman. Apparently it's some sort of, he had to fight a god or a demon, and gave him power. Getting back to current situation, he starts this fight with Chain Gang, who apparently his manager's like, hey, I'm ready for my cut. Chain Gang just kills him, like literally crushes his head. Brutal. It's a very brutal book. Like, if you're not down for this mature blood and guts, this is not a book for you. Tommy and Chain Gun go at it. Chain Gun is very powerful, basically like overpowers him pretty much. But Tommy does end up putting him in a chokehold, almost gets him gets the win just on the chokehold alone, because he was out for a good two count, almost three. And then Chain Gang's pissed because, he almost lost. And just he's now he's just going to kill Tommy at this point. He goes for the kill, and Tommy somehow counters by holding up the strength, like using his strength and halting this like log that Chain Gang was gonna smash him with, and then punches him right in the gut. And the longer he seems to be fighting, the stronger he seems to be getting. And as he's doing this, even Chain Gang starts noticing that he's not feeling as strong, not as powerful. Still tries to fight, tries to use this chain weapon he has on him. He gets out of that and then returns the favor by using the weapon on him and literally slices him in half. It even says brutality, fatality, ode to Mortal Kombat there, Tyler. Glad to know you're a Mortal Kombat
Right.
fan. And apparently he's gained power and he leveled up, so to speak. And that's the end of the book. It has something to do with the talisman, obviously. But this was kind of this very intriguing, very full of action-packed. I very intrigued of more of the mythos. I want to figure out what's going on in this. I'm giving this a good 12 out of 12. This is just fun. Is brutal,
Oof.
is it the art was excellent. It was a little bit like this is definitely a mature book. So if you're not under the if you are 16 years age and older, it's okay. 16 and below, do not get this book. Mom and dad will be pissed. It definitely
Sure.
is a mature, but I thought it was awesome. It definitely gives me, like I said, Mortal Kombat vibes. I'm down with anything like ancient, but at the same time they're making it kind of a video game-ish, so I'm kind of digging it. And Tyler Kirkham always does excellent art, so it's hard to argue with that.
So I will agree with you that the art was fantastic. But I just thought the story was just a little too far out there for me. It was like so Iron Fist, but like murdery Iron Fist. So
I think there's more to it. I think they probably jammed a little too much in this first issue than they should
agree.
have.
So
And maybe we'll get more explanation in the other episode. I don't think every
hopefully.
issue is going to be a fight, because if that's
Right.
the case, it's going to suck. I think you're going to get a little bit more the history of this talisman, the history of this cave, and I'm down for that. I like a good mystical
Yeah.
kind of thing.
Same,
So
same.
let's see what I'm going to give it a shot. But I did like the ode to Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter. Yeah, I gotta get on that.
I maybe it's just I'm not into that kind of stuff anymore, but I would give this book like an 8 out of 12 just for the art. Like I said, the story was just there were parts of it that were a little like, really? Was that needed? Like,
Yeah, it's very extreme and very like over the top. I give you that. But I think that's kind of probably the point, I think.
Yeah, I mean,
It
like I said, I just don't think it's my jam, but the art was
Right.
fantastic. It's just the
Yeah.
certain parts of the story I wasn't down with.
Yeah.
But overall,
We
I thought it was a good
could
book.
have did without the whole, hey, I beat up like an old married lady's husband because like he cheated on her and he hired you to beat him up. We could have did without that
Right.
part.
Yeah, because it kind of makes
That
him be
was kind of
like,
like creep.
it
It's
kind of
like,
makes him look like a shitty mercenary,
yeah,
right?
which
And I
it
was like,
kind of
I could have
sounds
done
like that.
without that. Yeah, I
Yeah.
was like, I could have done without that part. Like, it
Yeah.
just didn't do anything for the story for me, but maybe we'll come back to find out that it actually does do something for the story. So I'm
Yeah.
not super, super worried about it. So,
Yeah. Well,
but.
then they leave out the details like you don't find out the friend's name.
Right.
You don't even find
Right.
out his name until like
Halfway through the
towards the
book.
end of the
Yeah.
book.
Yeah.
You just know his last
So.
name is Brazen. And it's
Right.
like, okay, cool, your last name is Brazen. Is that just you go by Brazen? And they're like, oh, It's Tommy. Okay. Because I'm like, I'm just writing down Brazen. And then finally you see it. It's like, oh, his name is Tommy. Okay, cool. Because you hear about his grandfather's name, but you don't have his name. So it's a
Right.
little critique there. So maybe I'll give it 11 out of 12 just because of those little things. But
Okay.
yeah, I'll tone
Yeah.
it down a little bit on that.
Yeah.
But I still enjoyed it. I still thought it was pretty interesting.
I still enjoyed it. I just didn't like
Yeah.
it as much as I hoped I was going to. So, but
And
I picked it up purely for the art because the art was
yeah.
fantastic.
Yeah. They
So,
especially the brutal scenes.
oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Oof.
it's insane. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not like the fun, dumb, cartoonish, like getting shot by a ton of lasers that are in the Disavowed,
No,
right? So,
this is Mortal Kombat
yeah.
violence. This
Yeah,
is
yeah, yeah.
Saw torture violence type stuff going on.
Right.
You're definitely like, ooh, okay. But
Okay.
to each their
So,
own.
it was her Kirkham did all of the art, and then everybody, or all of the writing, and everybody else, including him, did art, just to be,
Okay.
yeah.
So is this his is it his first shot at writing?
That I
It
don't know. I didn't look.
seems like that could be like the little hiccups there could be first time writing
That's
type
very
thing.
possible. I don't remember.
Because I don't remember him doing writing.
Let me see if I can find out real quick. Tyler Kirkham, writer of comics. Well, all of his DC work is actually almost all of his work is just art, so this might be it.
Okay, so this was his debut in writing.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what
Okay.
it's most of the stuff I'm coming up with is let's see here. What's this say? Yeah, he mostly did art. Oh yeah, he did Earth 2 World's End, which was great. Injustice 2, Blue Beetle, Batman TMNT, Green Lantern Corps, Aquaman, Superman, Green Arrow, Action, Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps, Amazing Spider-Man, Renew Your Vows, and the Immortal Men. Yeah, so this might be his first writing
Okay.
credit.
Okay.
But yeah, I thought it was
I
pretty
was
good.
gonna say for first time
So,
writing, he's that's
yeah.
I've seen worse.
Yeah, exactly. So,
So.
cool. Oh, I did look it up. There was one other Dexter Pop, but it came out this spring and it was a Funko exclusive from like the Funko store
Yeah.
specifically.
Yeah, that's the one I
So,
ordered.
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and then the ones that just came out like last month were the ones that were supposed to come out in June. They just got delayed. So,
Okay. Okay.
yeah. So, and then yeah, the other one that I was thinking of was the bobblehead, and that's what was in
Yeah.
there. I might actually own that bobblehead somewhere.
I think they did a whole bobblehead line of the entire cast, to be honest.
I don't think so. I
Because
think it was just him. Oh
I thought.
no, I think it was him and Deb for sure.
Yeah,
I
it's
don't remember
always him
anybody
and
else.
Deb. No, yeah, it was always him
Yeah.
and Deb.
Yeah.
Although I would have killed to see a Masuka
Yeah,
bobblehead.
right? Right?
I think that or Angel instead of a
Right?
bobblehead, it's a bobble body because he was a
Right?
funky dude, so it just
Yeah.
bobbled his body.
Is it bad that I'm like Francis needs to go as Masuka for Halloween some year? Because he's like that short. He's short, he's got the glasses, like, you know,
You
like
have to
it
shave his
like
head.
yeah, right? I think he would do it though. I mean,
But
he
he,
usually keeps it like down as a buzz cut anyway. I'm gonna
yeah.
see him tomorrow. I'm gonna ask him if he'll
You're
do
gonna
that for
ask
next Halloween. Next
Oh
Halloween, do that.
my.
So, but
Who's gonna dress,
all
is
right.
Tom gonna dress up as Deb?
Oh, that'd be funny.
Yeah,
His tall, lanky, grow his hair out. It'd be hilarious. So,
swears. Fine.
right?
It'll be fine.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's totally good. So, all right, guys, that's all we got for tonight. We will see you guys next. Nope, 2 weeks. Sorry, 2 weeks.
Two
So we'll
weeks.
see you in December.
Yes.
And have a great Thanksgiving. And we
Thanksgiving.
hope to see you at one of the stores for either just around Black Friday, see you at Pittsburgh Comic Show. It'll be a good time. So.
Quick PSA here, guys. If there's somebody that you know that needs help, go to your local food bank, give,
Yeah.
donate, because things are still not moving the way they should.
Right.
Especially this time of year, please, a lot of people aren't lucky. Those out there that please do that. I think
Yeah.
now more than ever, I think we need these done.
Oh, that reminds me. We are also taking donations for Toys for Tots at both Mills and Waterfront now through
Yes.
December 7th. So they have to be a new packaged toy. So it has to still be in the package. It can be an older toy as long as it's still in the
For the
package.
package, yes.
So if you're going to just donate something, bring it up to the counter and let us know. Don't just throw it in the box. And if you want, and you're in the store and you want to just buy an extra thing and let us know that that's what it's for when you ring out, and we'll throw it in the box for you. Like we put them in a bag and stuff, and make sure that people, like we know that it's supposed to be in there. But definitely help us out. Last year we had a lot of great people turn out to donate. I bought three toys at the Waterfront yesterday and tossed it in the box. I bought some McFarlane action figures that they had on clearance. That I was like, yeah, these need a good home. Let's go.
Would
Definitely do
Funkos
that.
count on those?
Yeah,
Okay.
Funkos work. Yeah.
All right.
So just whatever you see, like if you go to our clearance sections, find some stuff,
Yes.
toss it in there. Super easy. Help some local kids who are unfortunate and are not going to get a lot of stuff for Christmas. I think the cheapest toys we have in the store are $5, maybe even three. So it's not going to be hard to find that. But yeah, help us out. It'll be a good time. All right. Thanks, guys, and we will see you in December.